And welcome, friends, to this, the Friday morning edition of the Grace Hour, coming to you live here from our studios, which are located at the home of the Greater Grace World Outreach in Baltimore, Maryland. And once again, we want to welcome our listeners to the Friday edition of the Grace Hour. And thanks for joining us for this Friday podcast. My name is Pastor John Love. Joining me in the studio today, Pastor Schibelli. We will be your hosts for today's podcast, friends, and we're looking forward to developing this theme. Actually, wrapping it up, this is the final day of broadcasting this week, and our theme throughout the week has been giving God everything. That's total trust. And today we'll focus on the future. Trusting an unknown future to a known God. That's the best way to deal with an unknown future, friends. Committing it to the God that we know, who loves us and has promised that he'll be with us every step of the way. And as we get the podcast started today, Pastor Schibelli, I was just thinking that today is the future.
Yeah.
It used to be something that was coming, but here we are today. And can't we look back and say that God has been faithful?
God has been faithful, absolutely. And I think when we think about giving God everything, I'd like to start off with the premise, and it's really something very key. It's like, has not God given us everything? In other words, where does this all begin? Sometimes I could hear somebody preaching or teaching or saying you should give God everything, but they neglect the us aspect that grace would say God gave us everything. He gave his one and only son. Okay, what more can be done? Romans chapter 8, verse 32. He that spared not his only son, will he not with him also freely give us all things? So if God gave the son, the unique son, excuse me, the one and only son, then what else? What can you compare with that? What do you compare with that? So this is how I see it. He's given me everything. He's given us everything. He's given the church everything. So giving God everything would have to start with the basis of what first God has done for us. To me, that's key, because the other way around, it could be I'm giving God to get something rather than God giving me who he is and what he's done. And is he looking to get something? In all reality, no. We do respond, of course, but he's doing it even to people that reject him, even to people that would persecute him, whatnot. So giving God everything based upon God having given us his all. Given us his all. And this is really an understanding of grace, you know. And I think that's what the enemy attacks the most today in Christianity, is the grace of God. The person of God, the finished work and the grace of God, the attack is always on. And I never take attacks personal. You know, people can attack me, they can say what they want. And I'm really, to be very honest with you, it's like water off a duck's back. I don't really care, because I know they wouldn't be attacking me if I was unsaved. If I was unsaved, I wouldn't be being attacked. But because we are saved, and we are sinners saved by grace, yes, we make mistakes, yes, we fail, but yet God has chosen to use us in an incredible way. Look at Peter's denial. But God didn't say, it's over now, I'm cutting you loose, and I'm looking for somebody else, you know. So he's given us everything.
Yes, he has. And then, of course, when you know, for instance, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, God has already blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. As you said, it's the initiation of God first.
Yes.
Again, you know, God's not saying, listen, I'll give you everything if you give me everything.
Yeah. No,
like, you know, put a deal on the table.
Yeah.
And say, you know, we have to have an equal ground here. You know, if I give everything, you better give everything. No,
right.
That's not the way God operates. God gives us everything. And then because that kind of grace and that kind of love wins our hearts, we want to, as it says in the book of Romans, the 12th chapter, we want to present our bodies
yes.
as a living sacrifice. We want to present our minds so that our thinking can be transformed mm-hmm. and changed. Mm-hmm. We want to just present our time, our talents, our gifts, our abilities, whatever it might be. But that's all because grace initiated to our hearts first.
And that's the key, the initiation of God. And it's all backwards. Religion is you do and then you get.
Yes.
And Christianity is you receive and then you do.
Yeah.
I mean, Acts 1, 7 and 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be, what? Witnesses. Mm. So, first of all, you receive and then you become. You become a witness, you know. Mm. It all begins with receiving. Like, what did you do before you were born? Not a whole lot, you know. Well, nothing was going on. So here comes the gift of life, and then somebody can proceed forward with their human life and doing all that they would do. So the give and then the do, not the do and then the give. See, the do to get is religion.
Yeah.
But the receiving and then doing is Christianity, is grace. And they knew nothing about grace. That's why they attacked the God of all grace. Out of this fullness we have received grace upon grace. And so they're going to attack the God man who is giving grace to people. You know, that's where the attack comes. And, you know, Satan tried to be like the Most High. Isn't that what religion does? Tries to be like God without God. That's religion. Mm. But Christianity is receiving and then being. Mm.
You know, it's interesting because we live in a culture today where fear abounds. Some people struggle with fear throughout the course of their lives. I read the testimony of one such person that says that when I was a child, I was always afraid that something was going to happen to my family. Mm. And then when I was a teenager, I was afraid I wouldn't be good enough at sports or smart enough in school or liked enough to be popular. Then during college, I was afraid that I was choosing the wrong major, might not end up married or might not get a good job, or that I was, you know, I mean, could I even pass my classes? And then, you know, this woman said, as a mother, I lived in fear about my children's futures, afraid that something bad might happen to my kids, or something might bad happen to me, and that I wouldn't be able to take care of them. You get the picture with her story that fear was dominating every phase of her life. And mm-hmm. that's not how God wants us to approach life. As, you know, 2 Timothy 1:7 says, he's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. That's what God gives us. So as we look at an unknown future, could we become occupied with all of the fears that sure. might be there when we arrive? Sure, fear. We could. But
anxiety,
that's no way to live.
Fear,
yes.
anxiety, doubt, human reason, four things that Jesus addressed in Matthew 6, Matthew 8, Matthew 14, and Matthew 16. Every time he said, oh, you of little faith, He was addressing anxiety, then fear, then doubt, then human reason. And I like how he says that. When he says, oh, you of little faith, it's not like this chastisement, the voice that's used there, you know. Oh, you of little faith, you know. It was like, oh, this is how it actually reads in the Greek language. Oh, how little faith you have in me. Don't you just trust me? Can't you just trust me? You know, so fear puts us to flight. But love draws us near. So that's why perfect love does what?
Casts out
fear out the door.
Amen. I love that.
You're gone. You're gone. And love is given because he's the God of all grace. And love is an attribute of God, a characteristic of God. God is love. And that's great. But if love isn't given to me, what does love do for me? What if God never gave love? He is love, but he never gave it. You know, that's actually ridiculous, you know, but you think about it. God is love and he loves me. That's grace. The second part is grace. This is who he is and this is what he does.
Oh, I love that. And isn't God in the process of teaching us how to trust him? I mean, any one of us, when we think of the future, I mean, we could just, in our imagination, mm-hmm. think of all the potential problems. I mean, a person that's yeah. moving on in life and getting older, they could think about all that could be involved with that. You know, will I have enough resources to survive? If I retire, mm-hmm. will I be able to pay my bills? Will I have to go out and get a job at the age of 75 or 80 years old? I mean, there's just so many potential sure. fears that could dominate our lives. But yet now what God wants to teach us is just two words. Yeah. Trust me.
Trust me. Richard Wurmbrandt said that there was a don't fear 366 times in the Bible.
Yes.
One for every day plus leap year. You know, I've never counted them because the word is not always the word fear, but it could be another English word that's used, fear, afraid, whatever. But God doesn't want us to live in fear. So that is the whole thing that the enemy wants us to do. You know, he would even maybe think, well, I won't be able to get them to change from serving God and walking with God, but I can put them in a place where they're living in fear by every step they take in life. Every step they take in life. Some people will not drive a car. Why? They fear. They fear the highways. And I can understand why sometimes, you know, they fear the highways. They fear accidents. They fear driving a few thousand pound piece of metal down a road and wondering what's going to take place. But fear can cripple people. Fear can, especially when it comes to walking with God in the Christian life, fear can cripple people. You know, the story about them. Man's wife who said she wouldn't go to Africa because she was afraid of snakes. And the fact is that there's snakes in Florida too, you know, and that didn't work out so well. I'm not going to talk about the results of that, but, you know, fear has kept people from the mission field. Fear has kept people from going to Bible school. Fear has kept people from coming to church at all. Fear has kept people from all kinds of things that are relevant in Christianity today. And they run away from it. And by the way, there's a lot of people that do it in a sophisticated way. They run away from God by being so busy with this life. You know, they're so busy with this life and making a living and being a provision. But really, some of that comes out of fear. The fear of actually walking with God and trusting God. Imagine Jesus walking up to the rich young, I call him the rich young religious ruler. And saying, by the way, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. In other words, don't give it to me because you might want something back from me, but give it to the poor that can't pay you back. And he went away sad. He went away sad. And he was afraid to do that. He was afraid to do that. And I'm not saying any of us wouldn't be afraid to do that. But I'm saying God draws near. God wants us to live outside of fear. He doesn't want us to live in fear because it will cripple. It will cripple the mind, the emotions, the will, the conscience, the self-consciousness, and I won't be able to go forward. Fear.
I think God is so good to us because he doesn't show us what's in the future.
Yeah.
Could you imagine? I don't think any of us would take another step forward in life if he showed us what's in the future.
Yeah.
Somebody said, you know, when you're talking about just dealing with daily life, they said that, you know, life by the yard is hard, but life by the inch is a cinch. Doesn't God give us enough light to walk or in the next yeah. step that he's put before us? I mean, if we run ahead of what God in his provision has promised yeah. us, who wouldn't be anxious?
Yeah, what am I going to do when I'm 65? Who says you're going to get to be 65?
Exactly.
I mean, you know, come on. We don't know. I like this statement that was made, like, I don't know what the future holds, but I know who holds the future. It's God himself. I don't know what's going to happen. We have no idea what could take place any day, you know, with the kind of threats that we have on this globe today. All kinds of things can go on, you know?
Yeah.
And so in our own personal lives, when it comes to your health, when it comes to finances, when it comes to relationships, am I going to live in fear? And if I live in fear, I never enter into any of those things. There's a lot of people that don't get married because they're afraid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Somebody used to say that a person is very selfish. They just want to live for themselves and want nothing to do with having a husband or a wife and then having children, you know? That's too much, you know? I fear that. Why? You fear that because you're thinking about all the provisions and all the things that will have to take place and all that you'll have to do. So you are actually really afraid of that, a lot of fear. I used to think about fear of flying, and then I realized I've flown over 900 times now. And thank God. Does it mean sometimes when the plane shakes that I don't have a little fear? Of course we do. Mm-hmm. You know, hey, well, what's going on up there, you know? Is the pilot awake? what's taking place, you know? And really interesting. I was in an airplane taking a trip to a certain part of Africa, and I said to the pilot, it was a small plane. I don't like small planes, like one of these seven passenger planes. So there I am. I'm looking at that, and I said to the pilot, by the way, do you know that we're still chained to the tarmac? And I'm thinking, he doesn't even know where he hasn't taken the chain off of the plane, and he's getting ready to fly. And I think I had a little bit of fear about that plane trip, but it ended up okay.
Amen. I just think of David, you know, here he is out in the fields taking care of his father's sheep. And imagine if God came to him and said, David, I'm going to promote you. I'm going to take you off the fields of, you know, watching over flocks, and I'm going to bring you down to the valley where the battle is raging between mm-hmm. the Philistines and my people, the children of Israel. You're going to step up because Goliath is going to come forth on a daily basis. He's going to challenge the children of Israel. Nobody's going to accept his challenge. I'm going to send you to that valley, and you're going to accept his challenge, and you are going to defeat that giant, and you're going to take him down, and the people are going to absolutely love you. I can imagine David thinking, that is wonderful. But yet God would say, and after that, you're going to be running through the countryside because Saul wants to kill you. You'll be hiding out, you know, in caves, and you'll be forsaken by the very king of Israel, King Saul, and he will attempt to kill you. And I mean, I think David would say, well, okay, Lord, here am I. Send someone else, right? I don't want to do that. I'm not interested. But God is good enough not to show us what lies ahead, but just to keep reminding us the need that we have to trust him.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil.
There it is.
Yeah, and it's simple, you know, because God is shepherding me, and I'm in the hand of God. I'm one of his sheep, and this is so key, you know. And there's so many people that all of us at times we can live in these fears, and really they could be absolutely nothing, you know. It's snowing out. I can't go to work. I can't drive, you know. A little bit of ice. Like, we from New England know a little bit about that, you know. Mm-hmm. Do you ever remember some of those, like, 2-3 foot storms?
Oh, yes, I do.
There were 2-3 feet of snow. And my mother would fear that every time I went outside, I would get lost in the snow and wouldn't be able to find me. I said, Mom, I don't fear. I know my way back, you know. She goes, you're only 5 years old. You don't know your way back. mothers live in fear about how their children are going to turn out, you know.
Of course.
You know.
Yeah.
Parents, they live in fear, and just relax, rest in the Lord, you know.
Yes.
And he's shepherding you, and this fear is something that's projected by the old serpent called the devil towards the old sin nature. So I will have a real fearful situation in this world.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what he's doing. He's using those things, because actually Satan fears. He fears, you know. He knows what's coming. He knows what's coming, and though it hasn't happened yet, he knows what's going to take place. And so I like that idea of just putting my hand in the hand of God.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's all about trust. Proverbs 3:5-6 says it so beautifully. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't lean to your own understanding. Our own understanding has a tendency to lead us into that fear and that anxiety and that doubt, and we begin to panic in our hearts. But it says, acknowledge him in all your ways, and he will direct your paths.
Yes.
Aren't we trusting God to direct our paths in the future?
Exactly.
And how can we be sure that he will direct our paths in such a way that he will bless us with a healthy and productive mm-hmm. and prosperous mm-hmm. future? Because of what we know about him. He's a good God.
Yes.
He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. He's a forgiving God. He's a patient God. So, again, whenever we're faced with the unknown, we have to remind ourselves about what we do know.
What we do know, yes.
And that is, the character of God is one of great faithfulness, and he can be trusted.
He can be trusted. I remember going across Lake Victoria, which is a lake between Tanzania and Uganda, and we were in a boat. The boats weren't that good, that big. And I was kind of sitting there, Pastor Dwayne George, I remember one time we went over there, and what's following us is crocodiles. And I'm thinking to myself, what am I doing? Why didn't we fly? What are we doing taking a boat across, you know? And he said, oh, the crocodiles, they're just waiting for the garbage to be thrown out. I'm like, are you kidding me? You know what? These were, and by the way, these were not like these little baby alligators in Florida. These were like 2,000-3,000-pound crocs, you know, probably could swallow you just like that. And yeah, was there fear? Every time you, you know, the boat would shake a little bit or something would happen, you begin to wonder, you know. No, I don't want to be a crocodile's Italian submarine sandwich. I'm not into that right now, you know. So, you know, but yeah, fear. And so I think some people never attempt certain things in Christianity because of fear. They won't even consider it. People are afraid to go to Bible school. People are afraid to the mission field. People are afraid to get married. People are afraid to have children. People are afraid to drive down the street. People are afraid to evangelize and knock on people's doors and talk to them about the one who can take fear away, you know? So all these fears, there's so many of them, you know?
Yeah. And yet God calls us to live a fearless life.
Yes.
We don't need it. And as we cooperate with God and we see how he's going to conform mm-hmm. us into the image of his son, that faith, which is being developed on a daily basis, is growing. It's
yes.
being strengthened.
Yes.
So no matter what happens in our lives, mm-hmm. we have to keep looking at the promises of God. Because if we just walk by sight rather than walking by faith, we'll be quickly discouraged, mm-hmm. disillusioned, maybe even led to the point of despair or depression.
Sure.
That can happen to anybody. But what is it that God asks us to do? Have a mind that stayed on him. And if we have that,
yes.
we can actually have perfect peace. Isaiah 26:3. Perfect peace can guide us
yeah.
into an unknown future. Absolutely.
Perfect peace.
Yes.
Not just peace. Perfect peace. I read a story about Hudson Taylor, who was working in the slums of London as a missionary in London, and working in the slums and evangelizing and whatnot. Then God called him to China. And he's like, you know, I don't know about China, you know. Are you kidding me? And he began to think. And I remember he quoted this. He says, this is what the Holy Spirit spoke to him. Bear not a single care thyself, for one is too much for thee. The work is mine and mine alone. Your work is to trust in me. Just trust in me. You know, yeah, I'm going to take you from London to China, you know, and whatnot. And so even when he was there and he found out the way to reach the Chinese people was to dress like they dress, eat like they eat, chopsticks, the whole thing, which I could never do. I always tried that. But he became Chinese to the Chinese. And he was ridiculed even by missionaries, you know, that would never think of dressing like they dress and eating what they eat and living where they live, you know. But he wasn't afraid of that. And so that's why he had such a great effect in China as a missionary.
Amazing. You know, in the middle of Job's messy story, we find key verses. They're found in Job chapter 23, verses 13 and 14. And this is what it says, but God is unchangeable. Mm-hmm. And who can turn him back? What he desires, that he does. He will complete what he appoints for me. And many such things are in his mind. I mean, Job declared that he was confident of these two things. Number one, God hasn't changed. He hasn't changed.
Yes.
As he took care of David, or took care of Moses, or took care of Jacob, and took care of Paul
sure.
and Peter and James and John, he will do the same for those who put their trust in him today. The second thing he said was, whatever God has appointed is going to happen. Mm-hmm. Job's future and purpose were secure in God's hands and would not be shaken. What a bold declaration of who mm-hmm. God is. And it revealed Job's certainty that God's work, even though he didn't understand it all, he could trust him just the same. And I love what he declared, Job 13:15, though he slay me,
I will trust him.
Yet I will trust him. You have to appreciate that.
That's interesting, yeah. Though he slay me, I will still trust him. C.T. Studd was 55 years old. And he had done 10 years in China, 10 years in India, then God called him to Africa at 55. And the mission board wouldn't send him. The church said no. No money, no finances. His family said, you're crazy to go. Something's wrong with our father, they said, his children, you know. But he went anyway. He spent 30 years in Africa. And after that, from 55 to 85, when he was 85 years old, he was still riding a bicycle around Africa. And he didn't live in fear. But there's so many things. I don't want to just talk about the mission field and the fear of going there. But every little thing that takes place. Some people are afraid to come outside. I met a woman one time, knocked on a door. She said, I haven't been outside in years. I'm afraid of the air. I said, well, what's the difference between the air in your house and the air outside? You know, how do you think the air in the house gets in here, you know? But she lived in fear, just great fear about being outside and being in public, per se. And so, interesting how that can work its way into Christianity in some very interesting ways, you know, these fears that take place, and to the fear to talk to people about Christ, the fear, some people, I won't even pray. Because God, I'm afraid God might answer my prayers, you know. You know, God, you know, I pray that you would help me to grow. And then God helps you to grow by doing something in your life that you might not appreciate. You wouldn't see it as a way of growth.
That's right.
You're looking for something else.
Yeah.
So people won't pray. I don't know. I don't know how God's going to answer. If I'm going to pray for a better marriage, what's he going to do? Yeah, he's liable to allow you to really have to make decisions to walk with God in a different way, you know. Mm. So, fear.
Wow. I think some simple questions we could ask ourselves help us to, you know, move into an unknown future, but still trust the God mm-hmm. that we know. Questions like, you know, is God with us?
Yeah.
I mean, we're celebrating Christmas in a few days, right?
Yeah.
And his name is Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah.
I love that. Another question we could ask, is God for us?
Yes.
He is. Romans chapter 8, verse 31. And if he's for us, then the next question is, who can be against us?
Who? It's a who, too, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like interesting. It doesn't say what.
Yeah.
Can be against you. It says who. If God before you, who can be against you? You could be against yourself, mm-hmm. old sin nature, against the new man, the devil, mm-hmm. demons, the world,
yeah.
people, carnal people,
yeah.
you know, family.
Sure. Yeah.
yeah.
Line up. Line up.
Yeah, line
There's
up,
plenty yeah. of them. Another question. Will he ever leave us or forsake us?
Never.
Amen.
Never.
Yeah.
Never separated from the love of God.
It's impossible. And so when he says his last words in Matthew's gospel was to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And then this promise, lo,
yeah.
I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. And friends, if you're concerned, worried, fearful about the future, no need to be, because it's not the end of the world.
Right.
All right? No matter what it is that believers may be going through today that are listening to us on today's podcast, we could say to them, you know, have confidence in God. Keep trusting God.
And it came to pass.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And I love that because it never says, and it came to stay.
No.
It says, and it came to pass.
I love this statement about how this reads in the original language. I am with you always is what it says in Matthew 28:20. But actually, this is what it says. With you is I am. And who is I am? He is the omnipotent one, the omniscient one, okay? Omnipotent, omniscient, all-knowing. And he's with us. He's the one that's with us. With you is I am. And that can be a great, great opportunity to have the sufficiency of God in my life and realize I don't have to fear because the I am is God is with us. So much so that not only did he give us his only begotten son, but he gave us the person of the Holy Spirit who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Who shall separate us from the love of God? And sealed with a spirit, Ephesians 1:13 and 4:30. So, fear? Yes, it's something of the old sin nature. There it is. But we need to call it for what it is and realize this is not God. God doesn't live in fear. God doesn't live in fear. The Father doesn't live in fear that if he sent the Son, it's not going to work. The Son doesn't live in fear if he sent the Spirit, it's not going to work. The Spirit doesn't live in fear over the Father's plan and the Son's person. He doesn't. So, and it's a crippler. Like I said before, it's a crippler. It cripples people's lives. And by the way, I think a lot of times all these fears also can cause even physical diseases. People that live constantly in fear and in worry and anxiety, you know, this anxiety attack, ulcer, all kinds of physical responses to living in fear.
Amen. Wow. And no matter what you hear, no matter what bad news you might hear, as you sit around the dinner table with your family, or you go to the doctor's office and he says, I'm sorry, I have some bad news. Or you're at work and you hear the worst thing. We can all have confidence in the unchanging nature of God. I am the Lord God. I change not. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's Malachi 3:6. Yes. God said, that's why the sons of Jacob have not been consumed. It's not because they're faithful. It's not because they're good. It's not because they're consistent. It's not because they don't waver. It's not because they're never double-minded.
Yeah.
It's because I don't change.
He doesn't change.
And you can carry that truth into the future and have the understanding and the confidence. And I think there's a beautiful verse in Hebrews 10:35, which says, whatever you do, don't cast away your confidence. The confidence that you have in a God who promises that he will be with you every step you take. You may be weary. You may be worn out. Mm-hmm. I shared a story last night as we met with some believers, how this platoon leader was leading his young men in basic training, right? They're in boot camp and they are exhausted. I mean, I don't know how many there were, but they had their backpacks on. They had their full gear and he is marching them for miles. And finally they are at the point of exhaustion. And he says, listen, if you can't go on, you want to leave. He says, you take 3 steps forward. And every single one of them took 3 steps forward except one soldier. And of course, the platoon leader, he went over to that soldier and he said, young man, he said, you have made our nation proud. And the kid looked at him. He said, I don't know why I can't even take 3 steps forward. Point being is that even he was exhausted, so exhausted, he couldn't even take those 3 next steps. The point for us is this, even when we're at that point, even when we are worn out, can't take another step, can't process another thought, God will carry us. He'll be with us.
Absolutely.
He remains faithful.
God's my end could be God's beginning.
Yes.
Because I'm at my end. Yeah, it's begin to trust God. God to take you through and really set you free. This is so key. I remember 30 years ago, I went to see a doctor after I came back from Uganda, and he said, you should never travel again. You know, between typhoid fever, malaria, all these diseases in Africa, you shouldn't travel again. I said, really? And I listened for a moment, you know, but I just got rid of that thought really quick. And I found out later that he didn't live another year himself. You know, he should have been thinking about himself. He's thinking about me and all that. So how interesting that was, you know. So God will take care of us. God is with you. With you is I am. And this is so key. So for all of us, it's important to realize that God holds the future.
Yeah.
God holds – he holds me and he holds the future. So –
And for those that are tuning in around the world on this edition of the Grace Hour podcast, we can confidently say to you, even though the future is unclear, and isn't it true, Pastor Schibelli, that the best way to approach the future is with a sense of vision that God can put in your heart? And sometimes, have you ever woken up on those mornings, you get in your car and a fog, you know, whether it's fog or a mist?
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't keep you from getting in your car and moving forward, but you might have to take it slow.
Yeah.
You might have to, you know, you don't accelerate, you don't go too quickly. But as the day goes on, you know, the sun may come out, start to burn off that mist, burn away that fog, and then you can pick up the pace and accelerate a little bit. I think that's the way God wants us to work. There are times when things will slow down, seemingly come to a stop. But God says, just keep looking out the window, okay? Don't get occupied with the rearview mirror of your life, okay? And think about it. Isn't that rearview mirror, the size of it compared to the windshield?
Not very big.
No. And the reason why is because God wants us to look ahead, but trust him as we look ahead. Maybe we have to move slowly. Maybe we can't accelerate the way we would like. But God says, just, you know, life by the yard is hard.
Yeah.
Life by the inch is a cinch.
After all of Hebrews 11 that took place, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. We got a couple of initiations. Is that from, I don't know if it's from Pastor Bob Mooney, but I was talking with Pastor Bob Mooney recently, and just a remarkable man of God who doesn't live and fear. There's all kinds of turmoil and things that have taken place in the country that he's in. But he continues to go forward, planting churches and evangelizing and winning people. So I think that's – I think somehow Ouagadougou is up there, Pastor Bamouni.
Yes. You know,
he must be listening from Ouaga. Imagine that, the name of that place, Ouagadougou. Wow.
Ouagadougou.
Ouagadougou.
I'm surprised you can even pronounce it.
Yeah.
Amazing. And a lot of folks are tuning in today and, of course, sending their prayers and their best wishes as we, again, push toward the end of another calendar year, 2025, but with a great expectation in our hearts for 2026.
Amen.
Lots of things potentially can come against all of us as believers. But again, I just keep reverting back when I think of an uncertain future to a God who says, listen, I'm never leaving you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm never going to turn my back on you. Even when you're faithless, Paul wrote to Timothy, God is going to remain faithful.
Mm-hmm.
Faithful is he who calls you, who will do it.
Even the disciples, I mean, Jesus was speaking to them knowing they were going to run for it. When it came to the arrest in the garden, they were out of there, you know? Like they wanted nothing to do with being arrested or what was going to happen to Jesus, you know? Yet he didn't say, I'm cutting them loose and choosing new disciples, new apostles. He did not. You know, you're going to get through this because I've loved you through it. So, yes, fears will come, but God is love. That's his nature. That's his character. I think in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 1 John 5, 3 or 4, it mentions the word agape 29 times. I think John was trying to make a point. You know, 29 times. Maybe I'm off by one or two, but 29 times God loves me. Well, people will come against us. There's no doubt about it. The devil's against us. The world's against us. The old sin nature's against us. And there can be people, even Christians, that will end up attacking believers. If you can believe it, what's going on here? How about just trusting God for people, you know? I don't have to attack anybody, you know? I can certainly know when a person's living outside of God's thoughts, God's lifestyle, God's pattern. I understand that, but I don't need to attack them, you know?
Sure. Pray for them.
Pray for them and let God handle it.
That's right. Some of the best pieces of wisdom I've ever heard were, it says, one brother said it this way. He said, when fear shows up and knocks at the door of your heart, send faith to open the door. He said, in most cases, you'll find that there's nothing there.
What happened? Open the door. I heard a knock.
That's right.
Oh, you heard the wrong thing. You know?
Send faith to open the door. Well, we're going to wrap it up, Pastor Schibelli. Any final thoughts on what it means to just give God your everything?
Well, I like Colossians 3:11. Christ is all and he's in all. So I'm giving to him that which, I mean, God has the perfect plan. God knows the beginning from the end. He holds the future. So I can just simply trust him. I just simply trust God. Brother Cooley used to sing it all the time. Trust in God. Have faith in God. He was a man from my Christian past in Springfield. And having just a simple faith in God, that he holds the future. He holds me and he holds the future.
And you may not know what the future holds, but you know the one who holds the future. That's our God. And he is a great and good and gracious God.
Amen.
Well, friends, thanks so much for joining us for this Grace Hour podcast. It's been a pleasure to be with you once again. And we just encourage you to have a wonderful Christmas holiday, and as we celebrate the birth of our Savior who's come into our world, not just to save us, but to save everyone and anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord. Thanks again for joining us. We hope you have a great weekend. Don't forget, church is coming up on Sunday. If you don't have a local church in the Baltimore area, come out and visit us Sunday morning at 9 a.m., 11 a.m., and then 6:30 p.m. May God bless you till our next Grace Hour podcast.